Well, happy Advent. It's good to be with you this morning. The passage we're looking at this morning is one of those passages where it's an Advent passage, but it takes me back to a time and place that is not Advent necessarily. There were these little signs when I grew up, and maybe you remember seeing them. There were these signs that would always say, Jesus is coming, and they would have the letters, Are you ready? Anybody remember seeing these signs growing up? Yeah, I was pretty certain that there was something going on in the 80s and 90s, some movement that I was not aware of, because they were everywhere where I grew up. I mean, if there was a telephone pole, it had a Jesus is coming, are you ready sign on it. And unfortunately, they're probably known for drawing more ire than they were for drawing contemplation or conviction. But when I'd see one, I can remember even now, just occasionally looking at one thinking, Jesus is coming. Am I ready? Am I ready? What does that mean? What do I even think about that? And truthfully, they're honest questions when we're confronted with this reality. Jesus is coming. That's what we're celebrating in Advent, is this coming of Christ, this return of Christ. And what do we think about that? Well, I think those are honest questions. I think this morning, as we look at our passage, those are the kind of questions that bubble up. Jesus is coming. Am I ready? We're going to do some active listening this morning. I'm going to read from Matthew 24 here in just a moment. And when I do, I want to ask you to just listen and gauge your gut response to the question that Jesus is coming. What does your gut response to that feel like? What does it say? And just be honest with yourself this morning, because we want to encounter a response that guides us towards hope. But oddly enough, sometimes that's not what we feel when we read this passage. And so, if you want to follow along on the screen, we have it up here, but I'm going to be in Matthew 24 this morning. We're going to be looking at verses 36 to 44. So you can follow along either in your pew Bible or on the screen. Matthew 24, verse 36 says, But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we engage your word, Spirit, we ask that you would speak to our heart. We ask that you would speak to right where we are. Lord, we want to draw closer to you this morning, especially in the season of Advent, as we're preparing, Lord, prepare in us a fresh and new hope. It's in your name we pray, Christ. Amen. Jesus is coming. How do I respond to that? Well, I don't know what your gut reaction was there as you were listening to this, but as I've thought about it, I kind of get about roughly four reactions that I think kind of encompasses the wide span of how we could respond to this reality that Jesus is coming. The first one is, Jesus is coming, and who am I? Who am I in the view of a sovereign God to reckon with that reality? The second is, Jesus is coming, and I'd really like to know when. The third is, Jesus is coming, and I am terrified by that thought. And the fourth is Jesus is coming and I just can't wait. And that's the one we want to move towards, right? Jesus is coming and I just can't wait. And that's the question that we're asking this morning is, how do we move towards that? How do we honestly move towards that where we can sing, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," with absolute hope in our hearts? So let's take these one at a time, though. So starting with that first one, Jesus is coming, and who am I? Who am I? Well, if you find yourself resonating with that one this morning, you may be more Presbyterian than you think you are. Sort of go, no! It's okay. You can be Presbyterian. It's allowed. Because it's easy to read this, and dare I ask a show of hands, who read this and saw two men in a field, two women at a meal, and one gets taken and one gets left, and your head goes, predestination? Anybody feeling that way this morning? You just immediately go, oh, that sounds a lot like predestination. Like, I don't even have a hand in this. What in the world could that be talking about? And I think it's important to note that, because when we feel like that, when we get stuck on the, gosh, God's so big, he's so sovereign, how could I have anything to do with this? You know what? There's an honesty in talking about the sovereignty of God. But I think if that's where we go with this passage, we're misinterpreting what Jesus is actually teaching us here. And it's a misinterpretation, because Christ is trying to admonish us to do what in this passage? Is it, Christ is coming, therefore you can do nothing about it? That's not what he's asking or admonishing us. He's admonishing us to be ready, isn't he? And so, if this is you this morning, you read this and you go, Jesus is coming, and gosh, who am I? I want to give you two thoughts on the enormity of sovereignty of God, and yet how it deeply applies to us in this place. The first one is, God in his sovereignty chooses us through grace. Right? Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says that. For grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is by grace you have been saved. And that is a reality that you can hold on to, that in spite of ourselves, Jesus never gives up on us. By grace you have been saved. That's what basically grace means, is that in spite of ourselves, Jesus never gives up on us. And that gives us a hope unexplainable. That in my worst, Jesus says, I'm not giving up on you. I'm not giving up on you. There's hope in that. But then the second part to that is that in his sovereignty, God reaches others through us because of the hope you have experienced. The kingdom work goes through his people. We talked about that last week, right? We're talking about how do you pray for the harvest. The kingdom work goes through his people. And so I think that a biblical way of looking at this section right here would say, there's two men, there's two women at a mill. One will be taken, but before they do, because they know of the hope and joy in Christ, they will stop at nothing to help the other be ready as well. They'll pray for them. They'll walk with them through difficult and wonderful life. They will not give up on them, just as Jesus has not given up on you. Perhaps this Advent, the invitation for you, if you're asking, Jesus is coming and who am I? Well, the answer is you're a beloved child of Christ, the King. He sent his Son to rescue you. And odds are, he did it through someone else, didn't he? The hope you have came through somebody else's hope. And he plans on using your hope to get to the next person. That's one perspective. Another is, Jesus is coming and I'd really like to know when. Now, we have young children in our house. There's this dynamic. The second you say you can't have something, like don't look in that box, what becomes the instant human infatuation? The box! That's right! The box! We can't help ourselves. We want to be in control. And yet, that's in spite of the fact that Jesus here tells us, but about that day and hour, no one knows. Yeah, but. But could I know? This is human infatuation. He said, you can't know. But could I? But could I? Not even the angels, nor the Son, but only the Father. But could I? Could I? As direct as the statement sounds, it doesn't satiate our desire to be in control of the story, does it? Which is really normal. I mean, we see this outside the context of faith all the time. When we start talking about the end of the world, right? We love to write stories about that. Have you noticed this? Whether it be movies or books or television shows, we love to write stories about how to resolve the end of the world. What's your favorite apocalyptic version of this? Is it, we're going to have to save the world from the alien invasion? We like that one. Maybe it's staving off the great nuclear war. That's another popular one, right? Surviving the devastating natural disaster that will destroy all of Earth. We like to write that one. A very popular one as of late has been, how do we survive the global pandemic? We won't go there this morning. And that doesn't take probably into account the most popular of apocalyptic story lines, and that is the apocalyptic zombie invasion. We love to write how this story concludes, don't we? There's so many different ways we try to do it. And at the center of all of it is humanity averting the end of the world. And we see this desire to have a hand in writing how the story ends. But what I believe this is pointing to is a deeper desire. I think it points us to a deeper desire to know that there is one who understands our end of days, who understands not just the end, but every day in between. As Psalm 139 says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I think this desire to write the end of the story comes from a greater desire to know that there is one who has already written it. There's one who is in control of how the story goes. And so perhaps this Advent is the invitation, especially after a hard year like 2020. I've already spoken with a few of you, and Thanksgiving was a hard Thanksgiving. We're not surprised. It's 2020. But even after a hard year like 2020, is to renew our hope in the one who has come and will come again. Perhaps this Advent season is a season to examine ourselves and ask, what rhythms, what coping mechanisms have we taken in 2020 that has sidetracked us from putting our hope back in the one who is the only one that brings hope? Perhaps Advent for you this year is saying, Jesus is coming, and I need to look for him again. But here comes the one that I think all of us at some point feel when we read this passage. It's Jesus is coming, and I'm terrified by that thought. Because we read this passage and we say, is that me? Am I the owner of the house? Am I the one that hasn't done enough? We feel that conviction. Have I done enough? Verse 43 begins, but understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Something interesting about that phrase, house be broken into. If you translate it literally, it's house being dug into, which to our Western ear is like, huh? Because our houses are built of things like brick and wood and stone. But if your house is built of sand and rock and dirt, well, then you understand. And the thought of a thief being able to silently dig into any part of your house unexpectedly is a rather intimidating thought, isn't it? It elicits a serious lack of control. I think there are a lot of ways to interpret this passage, but call me Presbyterian. I can't help to think that it has so much less to do with trusting in ourselves, but so much more to do with trusting in Christ. And I think it's a natural response to this passage to say, have I done enough? But I believe the honest biblical response to that answer is, or that question is, no. But Jesus has. But Jesus has. Therefore, I will draw closer to Him. And that's what it means to be ready. That's what it means to be ready. That's why Advent is called the season of preparation. We're invited into this rhythm of looking back at the year and seeing all the places where, quite honestly, we've been putting our faith in ourselves instead of Christ. What has that been like for you this year? Where have you found yourself putting faith more so in you and what you can do instead of Christ? We're called to remember that for thousands of years, real hope never showed up until it came in a manger in Bethlehem. And people just kept waiting, waiting, waiting. It's when we get to that place where we realize we don't have it all. It has to come through Christ. That's when we can sing that first verse of "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," quite honestly, right? "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in Me, Thee. Let us find our rest in Thee." And that's how we get to the "Jesus is coming and I just can't wait." It's when we find ourselves really relying on, as Ephesians 3 says, Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. I think one of the greatest Christmas responses we see comes via a man named Simeon. If you know who Simeon is, in Luke 2 describes him as this temple priest who somehow the Holy Spirit has told him at some point that before his days are over, he will see the Messiah. Well, one day, he gets this nudge from the Spirit to go to the temple courts. And so that's where he goes. He goes out there. And there's this young family out there with this baby. It is, of course, who? It's Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And he knows right away who it is, just like you knew right away who it was. He knows right away who that child is. Goes straight to them. I don't know what the conversation was, but it results in he's holding this baby Jesus and looking at him, or child Jesus at that point. And this is what he says. Listen to this. He says, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Now, Rocco's a cute kid, but chances are nobody says that when they pick up Rocco. Now, they do say some amazing things, and he's a wonderful child. But I would venture to say that if you've ever handed a child to somebody, that was not the words that came out of their mouth. But they're filled with such excitement, such joy, such hope. Such hope. Hope that, you know, in spite of he's still a child, he has not done anything. It's hope in things yet seen. Hope that the Scriptures and all that it's said about this person to be are really true. Hope that, as we've already said, that the thousands of years are finally over. The Messiah is here. Hope in Emmanuel, God with us. We lit the candle this morning. Which candle is it? It's the hope candle. It's the hope candle. It's the beginning of a new season. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to ask you this morning, it's been a hard year. Where do you need hope? Where do you need it afresh? Where does your heart sing right now, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus"? Because I need some freedom. Will you give it to Him? Will you say yes to it this morning? I'm going to pray for us. Wherever the Spirit is inviting you this morning to say yes to that hope, because that's where you need me the most. Just in your own way, respond. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, first we say thank you. Thank you that you are good to your word, that you would send one who would deliver us, one who would come, one who would be born of a virgin, one who would be the Prince of Peace, who would set your people free. Lord, would you convict in us this morning those places where we need fresh hope? Or maybe we've given up. Or maybe we've turned to ourselves and we're finding that actually we don't have what it takes. We need a Savior. Jesus, would you give us the courage to trust you? Would you be our living hope? Christ, it's in your name we pray this. Amen.